104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac, leading off with a big story of the day.
His name is Peter Lambert. 22 years old. A face like porcelain. With a name that makes me think he's on The Family Guy. Maybe he's a neighbor. I mean, would Peter have a neighbor?
There's only one Peter.
Yeah, but would Peter have another neighbor named Peter who is kind of just better at him than at everything?
No, there's nobody better than Peter.
Well, Peter wouldn't think
Peter
so.
Peter Griffin.
Who else would I be talking about? Bop, bop, bop. Bop, bop. Rockies win 3-1. That was freaking awesome. Just when you think you're the new hot thing, Kyle Freeland, there's Peter Lambert.
Wow. Cy Young already, huh?
Boom.
No. Is he going to get enough starts for the Cy Young?
That's a good question. How many starts do you need for the Cy Young?
You got to have at least 20, right?
First of all, his debut on the mound goes, oh man, I'll get his box score.
Seven.
Do you know the numbers?
Like six hits, maybe.
Okay. So
five hits. I'm guessing. Listen, eight strikeouts.
I'll give you 2 seconds and I'll give you the actual line. But yeah. He pitched 4-7. What?
Seven innings.
Maybe
eight strikeouts, five hits.
Two or three. Say it again.
I'm guessing 7 innings, eight strikeouts, 5 hits. 1 run.
In a well-played ball, that's a yes, by the way. But you said it with confidence.
Am I right?
I'm looking it up, dude. By the way, how good is it to have me back? Exactly.
Can't you take one more Roby day?
It's the response I get from most. How is my kids thing? Thanks for asking.
Oh, I didn't think I'd need to ask. I just assumed you'd
forget
somehow
it,
work its way in.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about asking me about like the most spectacular day as a baseball dad of my life. Don't sweat it. Don't be curious about how my kid felt as he was standing at home plate at Coors Field taking 2 at-bats.
Yeah, I'm not really curious about my own kid doing anything athletically, so I don't really care about yours either.
There you go. Don't worry about him playing second base as in a 5-4 game. But this is how it sounded just moments ago in Wrigley Field.
This is popped up right field, battling the sun is dull. Rogers trying to help out. Rogers grabs it. Ball game over. The Rockies win it 3-1. And everybody in the Lambert family can breathe a sigh of relief. Oberg the save, the 22-year-old with a gorgeous performance. One Rockies fans will not soon forget.
Yeah, that is awesome. Drew Goodman on the call with Spilly. AT&T Sportsnet, those guys do a great job broadcasting a game in the middle of the afternoon when nobody's watching. But we appreciate it.
Wait, now you're complaining that it's...
No.
They televised it.
I'm joking. I loved it. Are you kidding me? It's like the greatest thing of all time for somebody who starts a job at 3 o'clock in the afternoon for a Rockies-Cubs game to be on at noon. Freaking awesome. Peter Lambert, go ahead, say your line again.
7-5-1-8.
Not bad.
What is it?
That's really good. 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts.
Diaz had the hit. Diaz gave up a hit in the 8th.
Okay, what do you?
How many strikeouts?
9.
All right. Descalso, we got Descalso at the end there.
That is 67% strikes to balls. That is just spectacular. 95 pitches, incredibly efficient. Couple of, hold your breath moments there in the 8th with Diaz pitching, but he got out of it. Oberg closes. Tell you what, man, that is what I'm talking about. What a great win for the Rockies today. That is freaking fantastic.
Kept Bodhi in check.
Bodhi, what a night he had a couple nights ago, huh? Oh, Bodhi. My God. Faith, last night. Faith Christian High School.
He was about all the Cubs had. It's all they needed.
He was incredible.
Not today.
Not today.
PETA.
Not today.
The Lamb. Lamb man.
0 for 4 for Bodie. Oh, man. How do you not think of Bodie? Greatest movie of all time. Keanu Reeves. Patrick Swayze.
Oh. Is that Point Break?
Bodie. Point Break is the great, the original Point Break. In the original Point Break, you could jump out of a plane and your parachute could deploy like 100 feet from the ground and you just have like a turned ankle. Love that movie. Bodie, 0 for 4, 2 strikeouts. Today, monster last night. Absolute monster. So,
how much stock do we put in the start for Lambert?
A lot. A ton.
The hitters don't know about him. They probably got a little bit of a video review of him from down in Albuquerque. But he's an unknown. I think this happens a lot more than you think. A pitcher's debut goes well like this.
You're probably right. But you still have to throw strikes. So that's what I would look at. Like, you're making some great points. But could he throw strikes? And he could throw strikes today. A lot of them. So you can get through innings. And ultimately, in Major League Baseball, Tom, you got to give us five innings, right, as a starter. You got to give us five. And boy, if you can give us seven, man, that'd be an awesome. But you get screwed on your whatever homestand or road trip you're on when your dude can only get two innings. Screws everybody.
You think?
Yeah.
I think six innings you'd like to get.
Nah, five.
Because you got a 7, 8, 9 guy. It's easy for the manager.
Well, finds the lowest bar, you know. So anything less than five is just like
quality,
kind of a disaster.
Quality start is six innings, three earned or less. That's what I go by.
Okay, fine.
You're a little prickly today.
No. I'm speaking truth bullets. They're coming at you. Pew, 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 pew. Pew, 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 pew.
I don't want five innings.
I want nine. Would be great. Can we get nine? How about nine? Well, what I care is a lot of strikes, no walks or little walks. I mean, nine strikeouts, one walk.
What I'm hearing is a quick game.
Oh,
strikes,
yes.
No walks.
Yes.
Pitching quickly.
Yes.
Pace of play.
Yeah, how long was that game today? What time is it? 3:09, this started at 12:20. This is like a 2-hour and 40-minute game. Just like the high school all-star game yesterday at Coors Field. I'm looking and I'm like, wow, this is incredible. Different pitcher for both teams every inning. Scores 5-4. There were 20 combined hits, one error. A couple kids got hit. A couple kids took some walks. Bunch of strikeouts. Pretty good defense, and it was over in 2 hours and 40 minutes. And I was like, wow, that was fantastic.
You know what happened? It happened today. I was at the game last year, the July 4th game, that was under 2 hours, 1-0 game. It happens in baseball.
I wish it happened
just
more.
Just because things go awry and you have to, and a pitcher's getting hit, lit up in the middle of an inning.
Oh, I know what
and
it
you
is.
Have to, you know, another guy comes in and that slows things down. But when you're playing an all-star game, were they taking out guys in the middle of an inning?
One time. Once. And by the way, I love that proposed rule that if you put a, I never thought of it until they, you know, baseball brought it up. You put in a reliever, he's got to face three batters. I love that rule. Love it.
You don't like the matchups.
Or, I think it's three batters,
the lefty
or
specialist.
He finishes the inning or something like that. No, it's brutal. If you got a guy who can't throw, you got to live with it. Sorry. You got three batters. I think that is such a freaking great idea. Get better at pitching. Also, I'm just going to tell you, the getting in and out of the box is the most ridiculous thing in the world. And I know they've tried to control that. It's out of control. You cannot tell me you think that is an important part of baseball. The amount of time batters get out of the box between pitches.
Part of the problem is they wear so much armor up there that they need to readjust it every time.
Oh, well, you're probably right on that. But I'm telling you, to me, if you foul it off, fine. You can step out of the box. If it's a ball, stay in there.
Stay in the box?
Stay in the 1 foot in the box at all times.
You grew up playing baseball. You stayed in the box?
High school, sure.
Nobody did that.
Everybody
You'd
did it.
You'd step out, at least 1 foot would come out of the box.
Between every pitch?
Yes.
Not when I was growing up.
Oh, when I was swinging.
Yeah. Well, how were those days?
I had to adjust my cup. I had lots of things to do.
You had things going on, huh? You didn't wear a cup when you wore a cup in baseball.
I was a catcher.
So you wore a cup in baseball, but not in the NFL?
Yes.
Why'd you wear a cup in baseball then?
Have you ever caught?
No. A kid caught for years. He never wore a cup.
You were okay with that?
No. The umpires would always say, you know, are all your players legally and properly equipped? And I was like, yes. I was lying every time. Have you ever seen an ump do a cup check?
No.
Good, because he'd be going to jail.
I know in hockey, players do cup checks. But they have a stick.
All the time, I know. Can be embarrassing. No, great game. That's the way baseball should be played.
Did we not just say the line on the text line?
Yeah.
Wow, someone's mad on the text line about seven innings, four hits, nine strikeouts, and one run. There you go.
One walk, one run. Yeah.
That was the line.
What are they mad about?
That we hadn't said the line.
Seven, four hits, one run earned, one walk, nine strikeouts, 95 pitches, 63 strikes. Fan-freaking-tastic. Bodie 0 for 4. Sorry, Faith Christian. He's awesome, though. I'm pumped that he's doing so well. I think we got about 8 kids with Colorado connections drafted. No high school kids this year, which is a little unusual. But I found out the number one prospect has Scott Boras as an advisor and has already told teams that he's going to college, and that's why he didn't get drafted. But I look at the draft like, who in round 35 is really, where are you going? What are you doing?
You're going to college.
Yeah, but what if you're done with college? I mean, they're drafting kids in college and
can't live life on the road? Single A, double A?
Yeah, I guess, right? I mean, I guess that's what you do, right?
Yeah, lots of bus rides in your future.
I guess that's the way you just fill up your organization. You're a professional baseball player. Got a shot. Go for it. That'd be fun to do for at least 2 or 3 years, huh?
It'd get old if you're 30-something.
Yeah. You better have... Oh, yeah.
There are guys like that, though.
How about Lambert, though? 22. 20-freaking-2.
No high school. Second-round pick in 15.
No high school.
No, I mean, no college. Sorry. No college.
Keep going.
It's a fantastic start. It just shows what you can't rely so much on the ERAs in the Pacific Coast League because that is a hitter's league. He plus 5 ERA down there in 11 starts.
Hey, they have good players there too. Great job. Happy for them. Happy for the Rockies. I know they lost the other two games, but whatever. You know, you go 500 on the road, you're fine. And you pick up wins when you can.
It'd be such a downer to come off a 9-1 homestand and get swept by the Cubs, though.
I thought
the team you're in contention with that wild card.
I still thought they had been playing pretty good. I love their comeback last night. You know, they just never quit. So, I don't know. I mean, it's never good to lose, obviously, but I felt pretty excited even about last night. Love this team, man. Love how they've turned things around. I'm excited for them.
Desi's hitting. There he is, talking.
Yeah, I keep playing him. I said it early in the year, and people were,
They're playing
out.
Him because they have to play him now.
They're paying him $15 million.
Well, Blackman's on the IL, and there's no more. Is Tapia going to play? Is it going to be Desi playing?
No, he's got to play. I mean, he's got to play anyways. You're paying him all that money, so you got to be paid. You got to play. Like him. Come on. Get excited. My son said when he was in the batter's box at Coors Field, he felt like he was in the middle of a video game. He thought he was in like MLB 2K.
Is he a baseball fan? Like,
no.
He's been to Coors Field a lot?
Oh, well, yes. He's been to Coors Field a lot, but so, he's not a baseball fan.
Did it mean a lot to him to be playing there?
Oh, yeah. It was unbelievable. It was. I should just say thank you to the Rockies for even doing this. They definitely don't have to do this. I mean, they open up the entire ballpark. There's definitely people working that day that wouldn't normally have to. There's no money. It's free. They have one
concessions.
One concession stand is
beer?
Open. I did not see beer. Nor was I looking
did
for
you sit
beer.
In a rock pile? Could you, though?
No.
It wasn't that open?
They roped things off. you can sit anywhere you want. They roped things off basically between the start of both dugouts, like in the
was
stands.
Was there a girlfriend section?
There were a couple of...
there had to have been.
There were a couple of ladies there. I'm not going to lie. Some of these fellas can pull. And the Rockies were so great. It was such an incredible experience. Such an honor. So, way to go, Rockies. You made so many people's something they'll talk about for the rest of their lives, you know, no matter what happens to them in the world of baseball. And I just could not. Did your son ever play hockey at Pepsi Center for whatever reason?
Yeah.
Come on.
Pepsi.
How many times?
DU. Well, when he was little, you know how
Arapaho had a real game.
Maybe once or twice.
At Pepsi Center?
Yeah.
Yeah. Once or twice, so you don't even know. You're ridiculous, man. Once or twice. Well, what was it? Once or twice?
Once or twice.
Which one?
I do not remember.
Well, you forget the second time?
Not two, not three, not four.
Was it important enough for you?
Whatever. I had to get to the rink early.
So bothered. So bothered to get to Pepsi Center.
You know how I feel. I'm just not as invested in youth sports as you are.
You're playing at the Pepsi Center.
It's empty.
You're not playing at Joy Byrne Arena for the 10,000th time.
If you had an Avs sweater
on. Hey, we're at Ice Ranch for the 554th time. No,
there was the same amount of people were at Pepsi Center that there were at the Ice Ranch or Family Sports or Promenade or whatever rink they were playing at.
The truth is, actually,
I got a bigger kick out of when he played at Mariucci Arena in Minnesota.
Where's that? Oh, is that
it's in Minnesota? What? No, the Gophers. It's a college.
Oh, the Gophers. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, and it was a huge arena, and they had Olympic ice.
Well, I remember when my older son played in the theoretical. It's not official, but it's essentially a state championship, Bantam division, playing against Aspen at Pepsi Center. And, it was just unreal. They lost 2-0. But still, it was amazing. And yesterday was that kind of times 100. Just because the nature of the game itself was so special. So, I mean, I was like in tears dropping them off. Good thing I was wearing sunglasses. I mean, I was getting so freaking choked up. It was ridiculous. I'm like driving in. I'm like, you realize we're driving to Coors Field so you can play baseball there.
My son played lacrosse at Mile High, and I didn't think anything of it.
Yeah, because it's baseball, dude. There's a big difference. You're just talking about, I asked Stokely one time, and I'll just go to you. Was there something special about playing in one football stadium over another? And he said no.
Green Bay was kind of quirky. They had like high school cheerleaders. It had a very high school feel about the field itself. From the announcer, talking about Piggly Wiggly and the supermarket that's up there, whatever Piggly Wiggly is.
Uh-huh.
But it just had a very high school feel to it, despite it being an NFL stadium.
Okay. Does that feel special?
It was unique. I mean, I don't know if it was special.
Are any stadiums louder than other stadiums?
Kansas City is by far the loudest.
Wow. How's Pittsburgh? Play
at Heinz and Three Rivers.
Yeah, the older place, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't that loud.
No kidding. Towels.
No, nothing touches Kansas City.
Wow, okay.
When Kansas City is at least decent, it's the loudest stadium.
Listen, my point is, you had an incredible NFL career. You've had all sorts of amazing experience. There's nothing promised you in sports, right? So you just got to look for these moments as they come and appreciate them, as far as I'm concerned. And it was just so great for him to get that opportunity. That's all. And it was a great game, by the way. Well played. 5-4. close, went right down to the last inning, and it was 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Was it split up juniors versus seniors or
juniors, and there were a couple of sophomores. There are some talented kids. There were,
but it was underclassmen versus the seniors.
Seniors, yeah.
Who won?
Seniors won 5-4.
Really?
It was close.
Surprised me. I thought they would have checked out by now.
You don't check. There's tons of scouts there. I mean, it was loaded with college and pro scouts.
Oh.
Yeah. So, no, it was pretty serious deal.
Okay.
So, nobody's really checking out. The one kid who's the most serious draft prospect, he's going to TCU, Riley Cornelio. He's so accomplished as a pitcher, he did not even pitch in the game. Like, he didn't need, he's like, he's on this other, just bizarre other level where he doesn't need to do that. He hit late in the game and he struck out. But yeah, it's an amazing state for baseball. It's a shame CU and CSU don't have baseball teams.
CU used to.
Yeah, CU especially. Like the Mountain West for baseball. Actually, the Mountain West has some great baseball teams. But to be in the Pac-12 and not have a baseball team is
embarrassing. I can't figure out why CU does not have a baseball team. People say
I know,
it's because
neither.
Of Title IX, but they don't have lacrosse and they don't have hockey.
I think what it was, in all honesty, because I've thought about this a lot and talked to other people too, they were so behind the times in their football facilities. They've spent a lot of money, a lot of energy and effort sort of focused on that. And they've improved things incredibly. So this is why I, with this opportunity here, okay, CU, now it's time. Let's go. Yeah, Irv Brown was a coach there at CU for many years. It's embarrassing. With what we saw last night for high school kids yesterday at Coors Field, to think CU doesn't have a team is absurd. And all these, you should say, the field was loaded with Division I kids going to the biggest programs you could think of. And CU doesn't have a team. Embarrassing.
Would they go to CU?
Yes. Tons of, they would love to. Of course.
A brand new startup program.
They'd Pac-12?
They'd stay in-house.
Absolutely.
They wouldn't go West Coast.
Depends on the level of kid. But, you know, Maverick Hanley got drafted, by the way. He was played at Mullen. Yep. He just got drafted. I don't know if Maverick Hanley would have wanted to play at CU. Did pretty good at Stanford. Yeah, I think kids would love to stay home and play.
I'd follow the weather. There's some.
Dude, Washington State, Oregon State, Oregon, Washington, Utah all have teams. They all have turf fields. They don't do artificial. They all have, you know, turf fields, except the southern schools. It's embarrassing to see you. Get off your horse. You should have seen yesterday. It's crazy you don't have a team. But whatever. They wouldn't go to a team now. I see what your point is. Because they're, you know, nobody wants to go somewhere where it's terrible. So thanks for asking.
I didn't need to.
3-1, the Rockies win.
How did he do?
Oh, he did great. He played a couple innings in the field. Clean.
No, at bat. Who cares about the field?
Coors Field,
I want to hear how he hit.
He had a line drive to right field on a 1-2 count, and the bases were loaded. Hit it good, but it just hung up a little bit, so it's an out. And then he faced a kid from Regis. Eight kids from Regis there. Eight. Five pitchers.
Damn.
Crazy. One kid from Smoky Hill. He got hit by a pitch on the second pitch. He mean mugged a little bit, which was hysterical. You're in an all-star game at Coors Field. He's mean mugging the pitcher from Regis.
Yeah, it sounded like more than an all-star game, though. With scouts there, that was like a serious. I thought it was just a kind of like just a fun end-of-the-year type party.
Oh, no. We've been talking to this one college coach, and he goes, a guy from Kansas, Rich Price, and he goes, well, if you're at this game, then I'll take you seriously. I'll see you. No, this was a thing. Yeah, so Dylan got hit by a pitch. Got to first, ran around the bases a little bit. It was a cool moment. Dylan was on second base, and Brady Rank, Troy Rank's son, was playing second base. So Troy was, you know, right there, keeping Dylan close, you know, keeping him on base. Pretty cool. Cool little moment. Lasted for a couple pitches. So that's it. Great day yesterday down there. Thank you very much to the Rockies. Big win for the Rockies, 3-1. I come back in here, and I'm feeling better. I know I don't sound great, but I feel better. And talk about a wet blanket. raining on the parade, our own Jimmy Marilat. I like Jimmy Marilat.
Can the Broncos do anything right in his eyes?
Holy cow. We'll get to the details of that next.
It's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
So back to work. After a couple days off. And I was going to try to go down to the Broncos today for the final day of OTAs. And I was there on Tuesday. We want to talk about what they really look like when they practice fine. But then I get the note that it's field day. Field day for the Broncos. And somebody reached out to me and goes, can't wait to hear D-Mac. Some people think the worst of me, Tommy. They really do. Shame on them. But can't wait to hear D-Mac crap, being nice, all over field day for 3 hours today. I was like, not me, buddy. I'm a big fan of field day. I'm a big fan of this sort of moment. You can't do it all the time. Well, I mean, I remember when Josh McDaniels brought out like an ice cream truck during training camp, and it was, I don't know. I'm sure the players liked it. Were you on that team?
No. I didn't. I was retired right before we got here.
No. Okay. But
thank God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank God. But today seemed perfect. The timing was great. I could not be a bigger fan. What do you want to do? Get somebody hurt? And you made it. OTAs are done. You're about to take a 5-week vacation. You really want to have some sort of practice? Every football practice is somebody could get hurt. It's just the way it goes. You have your meetings. You've installed your offense, your defense. You got Chris Harris here.
Outside of James Marilat, is there anyone that is
upset? Well, you got to explain that. You got to explain it.
Well, we were talking before the show.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's being contrarian. I think he honestly, he was like angry. His arms were crossed, explaining his side of it, going, do you see the Patriots? He goes straight to the Patriots. Like,
Jimmy, if you're listening, come on in if you want to defend yourself. I mean, I know you're just kind of around the hall.
He goes, what did the Patriots do today? And I said, I have no idea. He goes, well, they practiced. So I guess, you know, but so didn't all the crap teams in the NFL. They practice as well. You got to remember the Broncos have had more practices because they do have a new coach. They also get an additional week in training camp because they're playing in the Hall of Fame game.
Right.
So in the end, they're plus for an established coach. They're plus probably 8 or 9 practices. Mike Shanahan used to do this all the time. Not to this extent. It was different. We used to go bowling. It was during minicamp. Minicamp was set up as in a 2-2-1 where 2 days, you had two a day. And then one practice at the end, and many times we'd go bowling instead.
Yeah, and they did some of that fun stuff over the past couple weeks,
too. Tom Coughlin, the stickler. We used to break practice early, and he'd have watermelon and ice cream and all kinds of stuff set up underneath the stadium. It's fantastic. It just brings happiness to an otherwise miserable situation.
No doubt about it. Now, you can't be doing this every day.
No, because it loses its effect.
Right. But if you can think of it, it's well-timed. And this is what I love about Vic Fangio. He doesn't have head coaching experience, but he has endless amounts of NFL coaching experience. And he knows what triggered, what do you think? This is an accident? This is 30 years of coaching for him, adding up to knowing that this is the right thing to do today.
If he felt like the team had put forth the effort over the course of the voluntary minicamp in April, the OTAs, and now the minicamp, if they weren't practicing well or he was dissatisfied, this would never have happened. But I think he felt like the guys have earned it.
Yeah.
Earned a bonus day.
This to me, like when James Marilat was crapping on this, it was like the people that were like mad that Charlie Blackman was like taking a couple of unique batting practice rounds to get ready for the home run derby like it was going to throw off his swing. I think he came back over the next 10 days and hit like 420 or something like that. Yes, I picked out 420. You're welcome. I don't even know what magic mushrooms are. But apparently you can buy them in Denver.
Can now. Yeah. We approved it.
Congratulations.
More people voted for that than the mayor this past election to just happen, re-election, whatever
it was. Yeah, that cat still is the mayor, huh?
Yep, he won.
That's amazing. That was our best option, huh? Okay. Anyways, getting off politics. I thought it was great, Tommy. You thought it was great. And
explain, anybody want to call in and explain
why they're against
it? How it's not great. How it's not a good thing.
Are you daring people?
Yeah, I would just love to hear, because his only point was, well, the Patriots are practicing, so therefore every team in the NFL has to be like the Patriots. And
all right, 303-713-1043.
Absolutely.
If you want to tell us why this is a bad idea. And when we come back, Nikki, I don't know if she got to participate in the egg spoon race or not, but she'll give us all the details next.
You're listening to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Nikki Jabala of The Athletic joins us, our fan Broncos insider. Just to recap what happened today with the Broncos, they canceled practice and literally had a field day. They had events like home run hitting and golf ball chipping, and I think there was something with water balloons. Nikki, do you have more details about the actual events of field day?
There was watermelon eating contest, the home run derby, as you said. Golf chipping, water balloon. What else was there? Remote control car racing. There was also a shaved Italian ice station. They had the dunking tank, and they put John Elway in it. Billy Wynn knocked him in.
How long was the line for that?
Good question. I don't know. The only clip they showed was of Billy Wynn knocking him in and then apologizing. So,
I heard Chris Harris's agent was waited overnight to be in the first in line. Oh,
there were rumors that Mike Sullivan was going to go up, too. I think the line would have been long there.
It would have been longer for that, that's for sure. That's their financial guy behind the scenes. Not the fired quarterbacks coach from last year. We had two Mike Sullivans. We took care of that.
Yep, this is a cap guy.
Nikki, did you actually watch any of the field day events?
No, I asked if we could. I asked if I could participate. I mean, these are the types of sporting events I'm actually qualified to do, and they said no.
The media wasn't allowed because you were going to be allowed to watch the practice, but you weren't.
Yeah, I asked if I could watch. That was a no. I asked if I could participate. That was a hard no. I've been relegated to watching this from clips the team has put out and players have put out on social media and whatnot. So, no fun.
What did the team, our text line is pretty split. People are pissed off that they didn't practice. Other people like it's a good idea. So what exactly did the Broncos lose out on by not practicing today?
2 hours of more on-field work. Their mini camp was essentially a continuation of OTA, so it'd be 2 hours of more drills and situational football. I mean, honestly, this is just my opinion, but 2 more hours of that wouldn't have moved the needle as much as, you know, doing this. I think there is some value in team bonding, and, you know, I think they gained some respect for the coaching staff that they allowed them to do this. I think also this offseason was pretty intense. This was more intense than recent years. I mean, they were going. It was physically, mentally taxing. So to have this fun day at the end was, I think that meant a lot to players.
Would this be an indication that Vic Fangio is pleased with the progress of the team?
Yeah, I mean, he said so. I think he is pleased with the progress, but I don't think that was the reason for doing this necessarily. I think, you know, he's kind of taken this from Nagy in Chicago, just, you know, ending a pretty grueling offseason with a fun time just to, you know, for some team bonding. But, you know, from what he said after OTAs and minicamp, he is pleased with the progress. He thought they got a lot done. He said about 80 to 90% of their offense was fully installed. So he seemed quite satisfied with the progress they made.
All right, give me your two or three biggest takeaways from perhaps the entire OTA session, including this mandatory minicamp.
I thought one of the biggest things was seeing how Vic Fangio ran his practices. You know, when he first came up, he said, you know, there are some things he's always wanted to change, but he never got to because he hadn't been head coach for now. One, of course, was those jerseys, but the more significant one was situational football and how they're continuously, they're going live.
Yeah.
The second one, probably Joe Flacco, seeing how he looked. I mean, granted, you're not hitting, so, you know, most quarterbacks look great right now, but he did look, you know, a level beyond all the others.
Yeah.
And then third, I think the versatility of the secondary. I was a little skeptical at first, you know, thinking how good could the secondary be with these guys, because I haven't seen much of them, to be honest, but they look good. I mean, again, you know, they're not hitting, so you have to take it with a grain of salt, but they move them around, and they seem to have, you know, the communication seems to be on point. They really like the defense, so those are my top three.
Does this, some of the injured guys, because of the intensity and what they've been able to accomplish over the last couple months, does it put the injured guys kind of behind the eight ball, Emmanuel Sanders, Philip Lindsay in particular?
Maybe a little bit. It sounds like this is a pretty complex system, so I think it's going to take a while for them to get up to full speed and kind of get back into football shape, as they say. But they've been out there. They've been in meeting rooms, too. Philip Lindsay, for instance, he's on the opposite field, kind of mimicking the routes he needs to run as they're doing their situational drills. I think inherently, given their situation, there's going to be a little bit of a setback, but it's a longer training camp, so they should have some time to, you know, really get up to speed.
All right, Nikki. Well, vacation time, right?
For them, not for me.
Not for you. Why not?
No, you still got to write.
About what?
You can write from a beach.
No, I still got stuff. But I don't have a life.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm trying to avoid going there, but thanks.
Well, she's got a dog, so she has
she
to.
She does have a dog.
Once you have a dog, ruins your life.
No.
They're the greatest things ever, but you can't go anywhere.
Right.
It's like a child for 15 years.
One, two, three, can't go.
All right, Nikki, we appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Oh, my God. I would have my. It's vacation time, man. I mean, you get 5 weeks. I mean, especially like
she's still going to churn out content.
About
man.
What?
Anything.
No,
you just can't. You just can't leave.
That's poor planning on her part. By Monday, what is there to write about?
There's always something.
Of course you can figure
everything
out something.
That she's talked to players throughout the past couple months that she hasn't used yet.
I'm
she
just saying.
Call together a column every day.
June, what are we, 7, 8, 9, 10 Monday through the 17th. You should be somewhere. I mean, you must have had plans. Like, this has got to be a great time of year. I mean, you're not going to stop working out. Oh, I did see there is an offensive line summit.
There is. Ron Leary's having it down in Dallas.
Oh, there's two then, because I saw a different one.
Maybe it's the same one. I don't know if Ron Leary is the host of it, but he was talking when he's talking yesterday to the media.
He's participating in the one that's happening.
Right.
When is that?
I'd assume it's in a couple weeks.
Is it in some sort of miserable place in Texas?
It's in Dallas.
Oh, that's too
nice.
Way too nice. They need to be like, you know, East Texas, you know. Sleeping in a barn.
Or maybe where Coors Field used to be. Maybe they should, like, that type of environment.
Exactly. Offensive line summit. Well, at least they're getting together.
You're mocking it. And if they didn't do it, you'd mock it that they didn't do it.
It's the least fun position to practice in the world. So I'm just laughing to myself, thinking about these guys.
A bunch of fat guys hanging out together, you think that would be miserable?
I think it's humorous. You can't see the humor in that?
No, it'd be fun. You don't think it would be fun? There's no coaches. You're on your own.
Uh-huh. I'm sure it'd be fun.
I'm hoping GB goes.
You can share it.
Kid.
GB.
GB.
He can't even get down to McChendy's place. What do you think? He's going to Dallas?
Ron Leary's had high praise for him. He's great around kids.
Ron Leary, GB. I had no idea who GB was. By the way, Ron Leary apparently couldn't wait to not play next to Garrett Bowles. That was my takeaway from his comments.
That he's playing next to a pro's pro? That's what he said about Juwan James.
You got to read between the lines. If they say one thing about one guy, what's it say about the other guy?
Nah, because Garrett Bowles' comments about after Dalton Risner was drafted, I don't think Garrett Bowles has it in his repertoire to, in one hand, compliment the draft pick, and in the other hand, to throw shade at Ron Leary. I don't think that was
I'm talking from Ron Leary's perspective.
You got to read between the lines, just Ron Leary.
Ron Leary.
Not Garrett Bowles.
Not Garrett Bowles. There's nothing to read between the lines of Garrett Bowles. Holy cow, are you kidding me? No, Ron Leary. I told the coaches last year I wanted to play right guard, and they stuck me open. I'm paraphrasing. We got the sound, right? We can play it again, I suppose. Did you play it yesterday?
Yeah, well, we played the entire... We didn't cut it up. We had the whole press conference.
I do have some
observation.
I was there. I saw the practice. Like a real practice.
Yesterday?
Not yesterday. 2 days ago.
He spoke yesterday. Ron Leary did.
Can we find some Ron Leary talking about how much... Yes, no? Oh, it is? All right, great. We'll get to that. I've got... Overall good news about these OTAs and mini camps. Am I feeling you're 10 and 6? I'm not quite there, but I could get there. There's more sign. First of all,
you need to listen to Joe. Did you listen to Joe Flacco when you were there when he talked? Because he talked on Tuesday.
No, I was not.
Listen to how he talks.
He did a fantastic.
I'm not big on press conferences. I don't think you can get too much out of him, but just listen to the way he talks and how comfortable he feels being here.
All right. He's cool, Joe, man. I wanted to talk a lot about him.
But he wasn't boring, Joe.
Okay. We'll get to it coming up. Football Force next.